you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. On this episode, we're going to talk some rock, some metal, and
anything else we feel like.
We're also going to jam some tunes, have a drink, and share some honest opinions. Thanks for listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Let's get things started. This is the Sean Baker Orchestra with Which Way to Radioland.
Mark Striegel, welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal Podcast. So glad to be back with my friends, the Talking Metal Heads, that's you guys, and I appreciate all the support you've given me on Patreon, on Twitter. Yeah, keep retweeting, guys, you know, I love it, I love it. Let's get the fumbling my words here. I love it, let's get the word out about Talking Metal. Here we are, going on 15 years. Next year will be 15 years of Talking Metal. We got to do something special for that, right? I don't know what that will be. Maybe end the whole thing. I don't know. I'm so busy, guys. I'm trying to keep up with you guys. I still love doing it. It is still a labor of love. So anything you can do to support what I do here, you know, along with my friends, sometimes astronomy's here, sometimes Emily's here, sometimes we have Victor Ruiz. But anything you can do to support me, like join me on Patreon or use our Amazon links. If you live in the UK, Canada, or the United States, please use those Amazon links. It's Christmas time, guys. It's Hanukkah time. Let's use the Amazon links to buy gifts, okay? Just go to talkingrock.net or talkingmetal.com and find the Amazon links there. You just link over to Amazon. And then just go about your shopping as you normally would. That is enormously helpful, and I appreciate that. So, of course, there's old school PayPal donations that we appreciate. You know, the PayPal links are also on the site. And what else? And I don't know. There's other ways. Buy a T-shirt. Talking Metal T-shirts. We still got them. The hoodies, I believe, are finally sold out. I may have one left. I'm not sure. But the T-shirts we still have. So, yeah, man, that was Sean Baker. I love that guy's playing. Go check out all his work. Not all of it is up there on the streaming services, but I think there's at least two of his albums up there. Sean Baker, Which Way to Radioland. A lot of other great songs by him. So definitely go check out the Sean Baker Orchestra on Spotify, Apple Music, you know, Amazon Music, however you get your streaming music. Go check out the Sean Baker Orchestra. And let's, speaking of shredders, let's go back to some Tony McAlpine from 1986. The way I remember it, I mean, I remember when, you know, we had like Randy Rhoads, and of course Van Halen kind of gave birth to this new style of playing guitar, in my opinion. And, you know, the way it played out in public was, you know, that was followed by Randy Rhoads and George Lynch and Warren DeMartini kind of going down that same path, picking up the ball that Van Halen had started rolling with his just really revolutionary style of guitar. But, you know, then we got Engwe at some point, and Engwe was a very different player. You know, that caused me to go back and rediscover Al Di Meola, who was doing some jazz fusion shredding back in the 70s. You know, I really got into Al Di Meola for a while. But you know, Engwe was revolutionary too. Maybe not quite as popular or influential as Van Halen or Randy, but definitely changed the game a little bit, you know? I mean, that's just how it was. Sometimes when we look back at things through the eyes of history, we don't see how it actually played out. I remember talking to Kurt Loder once saying, oh man, Hendrix, that must have been crazy. You saw Hendrix in concert. It must have been a game changer. And he kind of downplayed it. He was like, well, you know, when I saw Hendrix, you got to remember in the late 60s, in the mid 60s, the PA systems weren't that good. You know, he almost downplayed it like it wasn't such a mind-blowing experience for him to see Hendrix on stage, which maybe that's the way it was in real life. You know, maybe it was. I don't know. I wasn't there. And I know some of you people weren't there in the 80s. But let me tell you, Engwe was a game changer in the guitar world, in the metal world. You know, not the game changer that Van Halen was, definitely not, but he was a game changer. So anyways, because he was original, let's face it, you know, there was no one. People are like, well, Blackmore. No, Blackmore wasn't playing like freaking Engwe. Engwe was an original. And whatever you want to say about the guy, I love his playing. I think he can shred. He has emotion. Some people are like, oh, he plays the same licks over and over again. Who cares? He sounds great, man. He's awesome. He's awesome. And you can't play like that. Most people can't play like that. He expanded the boundaries of rock guitar playing, for sure. And on the tails of Engwe, the first two people I remember coming after Engwe who were kind of doing that same style, which they called at the time, it was referred to neoclassical. Some called it neoclassical metal, neoclassical fusion. I heard both those terms back in the day. But there were two guys. I believe it was Tony McAlpine was the first guy. I bought his Edge of Insanity record, which was out on Shrapnel, because Mike Varney, who ran the Shrapnel labels, the guy who discovered Engvay, you know, he was, and Sean Baker for that many years later, for that matter. But anyways, yeah, Mike Varney was this guy. Look him up on Wikipedia. He really was the guy who brought in this neoclassical movement. And after Engvay, the two guys I remember, and I believe it was Tony McAlpine first with the Edge of Insanity record, and then Vinnie Moore shortly after that. Those were kind of, and then, yeah, Paul Gilbert was in there. You know, he was doing, he wasn't quite as like classical driven. And McAlpine wasn't really either. I think Vinnie Moore was when he came out. He was more, in some ways, Engvay clone, if you will. I mean, no disrespect, but at that time, I mean, the kid was probably like 19 years old, you know, but Tony McAlpine kind of had a little bit more of the jazz fusion thing happening at times. Like, he felt at least the Edge of Insanity record felt a little more original to me, and I loved that record. It was Billy Sheehan on bass and Steve Smith from Journey on drums. The musicianship was just crazy. Anyways, this is a song I used to love off of that album that I had on vinyl. It's called The Stranger, and again, it's Tony McAlpine from 1986. A little Tony McAlpine here on Talking Metal. My name is Mark Striegel. Thanks for supporting me. Why don't you do me a favor? Connect with me on Twitter. It is twitter.com/talkingmetal. And let people know you listen to the podcast. Send out a tweet. Hey, you know, one of my favorite podcasts or a podcast I listen to each week is at Talking Metal. And send it out. I'll try to retweet that. Sometimes I miss my notifications, but I'm pretty good at it. And I did want to mention to my good friend Patrick on Patreon, I haven't forgotten that you want to interview with Brian from Diamond Head, and I'm going to work on that. But it's been so, my life, I feel like I'm at this weird place in my life. Like, some of the old clothes don't fit anymore, you know? And that's a metaphor. I mean that. It's just like, you know, I don't know. I got a big birthday, I have to admit, coming in a few weeks. So I'm just thinking of things a little differently. And maybe you guys can be my shrink for a moment here, because it's like I've taken up a couple jobs. I had a job earlier this year that I quit. I did one of those things, I've never done this before, like the day of, I was just like, I quit, goodbye. And it was kind of liberating, but it was a job that was like way below my pay grade. I mean, I made pretty good money in the TV business, you know, but it was a retail job, way below my pay grade, but I kind of took it just as a hoot. And I was there like 2 or 3 months and left. And I've taken another retail job, which also is kind of below my pay grade. But I actually like the job itself. The hours aren't great, but I love the job itself. It's kind of, it's fun. And then simultaneously, after not getting any TV work, which is how I made my bread and butter for many, many decades, I got a little TV work this past week working my own stomping grounds out of 30 Rock. So I was balancing this part-time job plus kind of another part-time job at NBC Universal, which was, you know, could lead to something else. My fingers are crossed, but I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm just kind of riffing here, guys. No agenda. Just so bear with me. But yeah, so it's a weird time because here, like, I've been a TV producer. You know, the podcasting is just a hobby. It maybe pulls in a couple $100 here or there, which is great, you know, when it does. But I just do this as an outlet. It helps put my name out there. But the TV business is going through what I think, like, the record business went through, like, you know, 10, 15 years ago, where it's just dead, you know? It was sad because I went into this company that I used to work at, and it seemed like it was a shell of what it used to be. Having said that, they might be doing something really cool. My fingers are crossed, and I hope if they do, I kind of am able to get involved. But, you know, things have moved on. People stream stuff. People don't watch TV like they used to. I'm sure some of you have even ditched your cable. You know, you're just doing streaming now, which I get. My kids don't, they don't do any, on, you know, tune in television. It's all YouTube on demand, you know, stuff. So, yeah, it's a different world out there. And, yeah, I'm trying to just kind of, you know, I'm not alone. A lot of other TV producers and writers and people, their work has dried up too. And that gives me some comfort. But still, it's like, I don't know. You know, I'm definitely, in my opinion, I'm past middle age at this point. Anyone who is in their, you know, late 40s who tells you they're middle age is crazy, because most of us aren't going to live to be 100, you know, so you kind of just have to figure it out, and that's kind of where I'm at. So yeah, just talking here, probably not making much sense, but trying to keep it honest. Yeah, so we'll see. It's just trying to try some new things, stay positive, and That's where I'm at with life right now. You know, Derek Sivers, who is a guy I've known for a long time, started his own podcast, which is kind of weird. It's like each episode's like 4 minutes long. Probably some of you out there wish my episodes were 4 minutes long. But, you know, can podcasts be 4 minutes long? I think it's weird. But anyways, he wrote an article on his blog, if the, you know, the clothes don't fit anymore. That's where I kind of got that from. So, but his blogs are interesting, you know, so if you have a chance, check him out. He's a guy I went to high school with, and we played in a band together when I was like 15. He went on to found this company, CD Baby, which he sold for many, many millions of dollars to disc makers. And I am very proud to say that my CD, you know, I was a musician, still am for that matter, was the first CD ever for sale on CD Baby. So I feel maybe I should be entitled to some of that. Just kidding. No, Derek deserves it all. He worked hard with CD Baby. I saw him build that company from the ground up. Sometime maybe I'll tell that story. I don't know how interesting it is, but I think I have a unique perspective on the rise of CD Baby, which is still out there. If you're a musician, you know, no one likes CDs anymore. But if you are a musician, CD Baby, even though Derek's not involved anymore, what they can do for your band is get you on the streaming services, which is where it's at nowadays. So definitely check out CD Baby if you're a musician and you want to get your music out there. I think it's easier than ever, you know, nowadays. So that's that. That's that. That's kind of where we're at. I did want to remind everybody we do an additional podcast. It's, you know, you have to pay for it, though. It's every Friday, every single Friday, the Mark Striegel podcast. And that's exclusively for our friends on Patreon. And all you got to do is $2 a month. $2. I mean, that's nothing. And you get a podcast every Friday. So check us out on Patreon. Just search Talking Metal or Mark Striegel. I come up. All right. And on that note, I did want to mention that Rob Halford has a new holiday album out, a second holiday album. I mean, Rob really must be into Christmas and the holidays, because here he is with another holiday album. It's kind of weird in a way. I don't know. It seems odd. Rob Halford, Christmas music, heavy metal Christmas music. But it sounds pretty good. I mean, I actually listened to it thinking, oh, God. But I got into it, man. I was digging it. I was digging it. And this is Donner and Blitzen off the new Rob Halford Christmas album. Hey, it's Mark Striegel. Guys, obviously, I am a ramble fest today with no agenda whatsoever. No notes, no nothing. Usually, I like to plan things out. No interviews, which is a relief, honestly. The interviews, I enjoy doing them, and I don't think a lot of people, maybe you do, there's a lot of work that goes into these, especially when I'm interviewing somebody that I don't know anything about. Like seriously, like I know nothing about, and I'm doing it because I'm being pressured by a publicist. At the end of the day, I really don't make much money doing this, so it's like I don't want it to feel like a job. So I've been blowing off a lot of interviews. I want to hear what the people on Patreon, like who you people want me to interview. And that's why, Patrick, again, I'm definitely going after Brian from Diamond Head. I'm going to try to my best to hook that up. I haven't tried yet. I've been very slow, and I appreciate your patience. So I'm gonna go after him because he's never been on the podcast. I mean, that's a pretty significant player, you know, Diamond Head, very influential band. I mean, when you think of the new wave of British heavy metal, I mean, who do you think of? I think of Diamond Head, Saxon, Maiden, Tigers of Pantang, right? That's what they're called. Trying to think of who else. Angel Witch, maybe. Raven. Def Leppard, you know, early Def Leppard, definitely. So, yeah, I mean, Diamond Head, definitely one of the biggest out of that movement, a band that was really kind of, we probably wouldn't talk much about them anymore, but the fact that Metallica covered them, a couple of their songs, really, three songs? I need to check that. It's Electric, right? They did that. They did, of course, Am I Evil? And there is a third one. It's slipping my mind at the moment. Yeah, I gotta check that. But anyways, yeah, so just riffing here. I don't even know what I'm talking about. That's it's Monday. I'm gonna try to get this up on Tuesday. I know I was slacking, you know. So let's do one more tune here. This is The Prince. This is another one of those Diamond Head tunes that Metallica covered, but instead of listening to the Metallica version, let's hear the original here on Talking Metal, The Prince by Diamond Head. All right, a little Diamond Head here on Talking Metal, and I just am seeing right now, hitting Blabbermouth, that, excuse me, that disgusting burp, and they're extra disgusting with this good microphone I have, I've noticed. Just on Blabbermouth just now, the KK Downing, Les Binks, Tim Ripper Owens, and David Ellefson concert that took place in the UK. The set list has been posted and some clips from the show. So this is a big deal because this is, you know, KK Downing returned to the stage earlier at Bloodstock, I believe it was, with Ross the Boss. And definitely proved that he's, in my opinion, still got it. And so now he went on to recently play this show. So the set list is insane, guys. They played Riding on the Wind by Priest, The Green Man Alishi, Running Wild, Beyond the Realms of Death, Exciter, Metal Gods, Before the Dawn, Between the Hammer and the Anvil. I mean, Hellbent for Leather, Take on the World. And Breaking the Law, of course, Living After Midnight, and others. That's not even the whole thing. Go check it out on Blabbermouth. And I'm going to listen right now. I guess you guys won't hear this because it's coming through my headphones, but I'm going to play it right now. What do I want to hear? Let's see. They have a couple clips. Here's Running Wild. I'm just going to listen to a little of this and comment. Okay. So the clip starts off right in the middle of KK's guitar solo for Running Wild. And I'm listening. Oh, man, he looks great, guys. And it's a YouTube clip, so it's hard to tell, but... Okay, it was a shorter clip. It was, like, not the full thing. Ripper sounds good, too, man. Okay, yeah, it's great. I mean, KK has still got it. Here, maybe I should pull the... let me pull the headphones out and see what happens. I don't know if you can hear that or not. Anyways, let's just say that KK has still got it. I mean, they need him back in Priest. I mean, give me a break. I mean, I know the book, Blabbermouth tried to make it like he was trashing the band. He doesn't really. I think it's an honest book. I thought it was a great read, by the way, KK Downing's autobiography. Listen to this. Holy shit. Yeah, KK has still got it. He's just shredding. He looks great. I mean, what? What is he, 70? He's got to be pushing 70. Late 60s? Wow. Oh, Ripper Owen sounds good too, man. I would totally go see this tour. I don't know, like, how much they could demand from the clubs. Because let's face it, it would be a club act if they toured in the States. But I would totally... Oh, wow. Jumping. Yeah. Cool. It's cool, man. All right, I'm going to put my headphones back in, and which will probably... Let's see. Is it going to mess up GarageBand? Check, check, check. Can you still hear me? Yeah. Okay, there we go. Yep, still working. Okay, cool. I wanted to end with... My friend Joe Ryan had suggested... He's one of our patrons, by the way. And he suggested a kind of a cool idea for a new segment called Question Mark. Joe, I love this idea. I love this idea. So... Let's consider this. I don't know. Basically, it would be you guys just reading something into your phone and question mark anything. It's not stump the trunk. I'm going to give you an answer. It might be wrong, but what I can guarantee with question mark is it's not like who played drums on, you know, such and such a record. It's not that. It's just throw a question at me. Any question, I will try to answer it as knowledgeable and honestly, which those two things don't always go hand in hand, obviously, as possible. So I got to figure out how to play these. Like, all right, I think what I'm just going to do is hold up the cell phone for now. But I guess if you emailed them to me at mark@talkingmetal.com, I could then just pull them into the editing software I'm using and respond to them in real time, kind of like I used to with the phone messages. Remember when we had the phone line opened and Jerry from Long Island would call up and leave messages and stuff? It's a little bit production-wise, a little bit of a pain in the ass, but let's do it. Let me look here for Joe's question, and I will answer it as honestly as possible. Joe Ryan, let's see. All right, here we go. All right. See, I hope you can hear this.
Hey, this is Joe Ryan from Orange County, California, and I'd like to question Mark. Mark, I need a little bit of help here. I'm a huge Ghost fan.
Yeah, me too.
But I'm a little confused about these different Papa characters. I'd appreciate it if you could just explain these Papa characters a little bit.
All right.
Thanks.
Okay, cool. So, do we want to do this, guys? Do we want to... Do you want to do this segment? Question mark? Let me know. But all right. So, Joe, here's the deal. I am not as nearly as knowledgeable as some of these hardcore freaks. Having said that, I do know a little bit about it. So Ghost is a band, obviously, and they put out great music. I love their music. But there's this whole story that a lot of people are really into that goes along with the music. Okay. So the guy who's behind all this is Tobias Forge. And before we actually knew who Tobias was, he was a character within... He was playing the part of a character. And it was almost Kiss-like. Like, no one knew that Papa Emeritus was Tobias Forge. It was extremely secret. That was eventually exposed. Nurgle from Behemoth posted something. I don't think he meant to... out Tobias, but he posted something and people started figuring it out. And Tobias used to do interviews. He'd put on a nameless ghoul mask and do interviews as the ghoul. So in some ways he was playing numerous different parts in the band. But okay, so the Papa characters is your question. So the band started again, and every one of these lead singer characters that we're going to talk about, the Papa Emeritus's and Cardinal Copia, are all played by Tobias Forge. So it's all the same. That's why they all sound have a similar voice. But so when the first record came out, it was Papa Emeritus. Then with the second record, it was announced that Papa Emeritus was gone, and they had Papa Emeritus the second. So that was that. And then Papa Emeritus the third took over for the Meliora album. I have problems with the pronunciations. And then what happened was, at the end of that tour, this guy Papa Nil, who is an older looking Papa, although Papa Emeritus the second was kind of, he had an older look about him too, but Papa Nil came out, and Papa Nil pulled Papa Emeritus the third off the stage. It was then somehow in the story, and there's videos and stuff online which deal strictly with the story. It was determined that Papa Nil was actually the father of Papa Emeritus, Emeritus II, and Emeritus III. Okay, and then there's this sister woman who has appeared in a lot of the videos, what would you call them, theatrical videos, two concept videos about the storyline. And it turns out we assume she's the mother. Okay, so it was then, and she seems to be the dominant character in the clergy, more so than Papa Nil, who was the father of, again, the Papa Emeritus characters. So they announced that they were killing Papa Nil's three sons, and when they did the next tour, they brought in the sister, brought in this guy Cardinal Copia, who was an outsider. You know, he wasn't bloodline like the Papa characters were. So Papa Cardinal Copia, who's the guy who just wrapped up the current tour, he again was brought in by the sister. But we saw in his reign in the band for whatever it was, a year and a half or so, we saw towards the end his power kind of dim a little bit. And that was with the two recent songs that were released, were called Kiss the Go-Goat and Mary on a Cross. So these two songs, as the story goes, were recorded back in 1969, and they were released. So we're now finding out that Ghost has this long, long fictional history going all the way back to the 60s. And they were released as the 50-year anniversary. And it turns out that Papa Nil, the father of the three Papas who have since been executed and beheaded, or not beheaded, I guess just killed in the story, that he was once the singer of Ghost. If you're following all this. And Papa Nil has been appearing recently in the tours. He's the guy who comes out and plays the saxophone, the older gentleman who they bring out, and he has like a breathing machine and cane and, you know, walker. I'm convinced that the saxophone is completely tracked, by the way, during the Ghost shows. He's definitely not really playing the saxophone, in my humble opinion. So and then we saw this, and I mentioned this to Tobias on one of the recent t-shirts they were selling, that Papa Nil and the sister were firmly in the front seat of this car with Cardinal Copia, this is artwork, in the back seat. And there's symbolism behind that. That's kind of telling you that, okay, the people calling the shots are not, it's definitely not Cardinal Copia. And now it's been revealed that there's possibly going to be another Papa. I don't know how confirmed this is. I know Loudwire and Krang and stuff are saying it's happening, that another Papa is going to be coming in for the next phase of Ghost, which is a ways off. Ghost have one show in Mexico, I believe it is, in early 2020, and we should watch that show to see if there's some, you know, dramatic exit for Cardinal Copia, or maybe they intro some new character there. Maybe it's Papa the Fourth, I don't know. But Joe, that's a long answer. So it's kind of complex, but I guess let me summarize. The basic thing is, and it's thought that maybe the sister was the father of Papa, the Papa Emeritus characters. So we had Papa Emeritus 1, 2, and 3 were then killed. Cardinal Copia was then brought in. He's not blood. He's not the bloodline. So Papa Nil didn't really like him, but the sister wanted to bring him in. in. He was more theatrical, if you will. And then said that maybe we're going to, and you know, there was definitely, if you look at the way the Cardinal runs around the stage compared to the Papa characters who kind of just walk slowly around the stage there, you know, he definitely puts some thought into this and some acting, if you will. When I say he, I mean Tobias. So long-winded answer. But yeah, let's summarize. So there were three Papas, four, if you include Papa Nil, also Papa Nil is also known as Papa Zero. And he's the older guy, like in his 90s or something, and or 80s, I don't know. Then there's the sister. Yeah, so there's a whole story. You can go watch the videos, try to figure it out yourself. I'm sure there's somebody else who's probably listening to this right now saying, what are you saying isn't accurately correct? Well, all right, I haven't studied it like I studied Star Wars. All right, so there you go. Thank you, Joe. Let's end with some Ghost, okay? Guys, thanks for listening. I love this song. It's called Year Zero by Ghost.